97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. All excited to get this show underway. Got a lot to talk about. We've got a couple of great guests we're going to have for you. If you support the Second Amendment and you believe that it is a right for you as an American to have and uphold your Second Amendment rights, well, this is the show for you. If you're into hunting, if you're into drinking, I mean, it's, you know, you're checking off the boxes. You got the alcohol, you got the tobacco. Well, you could have that. And then the firearms and explosives. Don't forget that. But Mark Cox, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Bo Matthews. Got Carl Middleman in here as well. And speaking of drinking, Carl and I are going to be doing some of that this coming Thursday night. Can I just tell you that? So my morning show is hosting a spring bourbon fling at the Clayton Wine House.
And, hello.
They're gonna. My friends at Lore Wine and Spirits are bringing a bunch of their partners, like Old Dominic. They make Tennessee whiskey. They make bourbon. They make a Memphis toddy, which is outstanding. They're bringing Green River and RD1 and New Riff and Four Roses, and all of these different bourbons will be out there at the Clayton Wine House, plus some wine, plus some liquor, so you don't have to just be a bourbon person. And we're going to have fun. I'm going to be there. Kim St. Ange will be there, who filled in for you a couple weeks ago here on the show when you were on vacation. We're hoping Carl will be there if the Blues aren't in the playoffs.
About the Blues. Oh, yeah. And Mark mentioned my thingy. The Blues just did a big celebration of a behind-the-scenes thing of what I did.
Yeah. Do you know, that Bo Matthews, who blows the horn at the Blues game when they score a goal?
It's not our Carl, is it?
Carl, the intern middleman. Yes, indeed.
What?
And who plays all your favorite songs?
Carl, the intern middleman.
Well, I know. Yeah, that is true.
I do both.
Don't let that cat out of the bag, though. I did make a request last time I was there. That was cool.
They did. They did a great video on Carl, kind of behind the scenes thing. It's up on the Blues social media. We shared it on our Facebook page and Twitter, and you can find it there. It's fantastic.
How long have you been that guy, real quick?
28 seasons.
Wow.
Yes, it's 96. Awesome. Isn't that awesome?
The year after Gretzky left. But I got a ring, and I got a ring because they won the Stanley Cup and 5 years ago now.
Wow.
Okay, I do want to mention, though, that we're talking about your event at the Wine House.
Yes.
You are drinking during the show right now.
I am. Yeah. We did a little preview this morning for Facebook Live, and I thought,
we wanted to show.
Since we're here anyway, I'm just going to have a pour of this great RD1. This is the one that's aged in oak and maple barrels. They have one that's aged in Ambarana wood, which is outstanding. Anyway, you get to sample all of these. Plus, they're going to have appetizers. It's just going to be a great time. The tickets are only $35. And we'll be there from like 6 to 8 or six to eight or 8:30 on Thursday evening.
The wonderful thing about it is it's kind of like in the firearms world.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you ever again what's your favorite bourbon, because there's so many to choose from. And there's different styles of bourbon for different events or different times of day or whatever.
Mark likes the rye.
I've heard the mash. I know. He brags about that, actually. This is going to be a cool event. How do I get tickets? That's the question.
So go to 971talk.com, just 971talk.com. It will be one of the first things you see when you land on that page. It says Spring Bourbon Fling. It's got a barrel head on there, and you click on that, and it'll take you to a link to buy tickets. $35, cheap. You get food, you get bourbon, you get wine, and you get to see us. And maybe Bo Matthews will be there.
Maybe I'll pop by. You know, is really, guys, listen, this could be a great date night just to get out of the house, turn off the TV, cheap. And you know what? The one you love might go, hold on, are we going on a date? You know what I mean?
Wow.
You're going to give me some
work
wine?
This.
Yeah. Check it out, 971talk.com. Bo, you got an event coming up too, though, right?
And I appreciate you saying that. First of all, the Year of Guns Gun Raffle, the next one is Monday. Although Doc's Guns is closed on Monday, we are going to do the drawing on Facebook Live on the Bo Matthews page. And our next one is, let's see, what are we in April? A Ruger GP100 357 Magnum revolver.
Nice.
$979 value.
Woo!
And Mark Cox could possibly be that winner.
Hey, I bought two tickets in that, so I'm still in the running, right? But so are you. You've already won, and you're still in the running. So it's great.
Yeah, so don't give up. Don't give up hope. And we also are, we had a meeting about the Poker Bash, which is on Cinco de Mayo. It's on May 5th, but who really celebrates a lot of Cinco de Mayo? Come on out for a Texas Hold'em game. We're going to have great food. It's at the Holiday Inn Six Flags, and they've been a great host, and the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund benefits from this event. But if you have a company that you would like to donate a raffle item or a silent auction item, we would contact me directly, and I'll figure it out, and I'll get to you. And we also have a Henry Golden Boy 22, and we also have a Sig Sauer P365 NRA Edition 9mm raffle tickets. If you want those tickets, there's only 300 per gun being sold, and they're only $10. Mark Cox, if you want to.
I'm in. Carl and I are in.
I said I'd buy one. I just need to see you. Hey, if you go to the thing next Thursday night, I can give you $10.
Buy the tickets. Be there, Bo.
You know what? I will. That's a great idea.
All right, so now
you
know.
And you can sell some more there.
Now you know Bo's going to be there, too. That's good. We're going to have fun.
Because I have an ulterior motive. That's why.
Absolutely.
Reason to get out the house.
And bring some extras. Maybe other people there want to buy them. Bo, they'll come up and say,
believe me.
I heard on the radio.
I will.
Hey, you know, I want to mention this because we talked about it last week. You were going to go out to the Jay Hinges shooting range out off of Antire Road. How'd that go?
It was fantastic.
Good.
It really was a great, it's so clean. It's a state facility. You know, the Missouri Conservation Department, they do a great job. The people out there recognize me from the show because, of course, they listen. But nice. I was so impressed with the rifle and the pistol range with all the concrete and all the stuff. Dude, you did not disappoint in your description of the place. I was so impressed.
It's fantastic. And, of course, they've got the, you can go up and shoot trap on the upper level of it there when you first pull in. It's to the right. You turn left to go down to where the pistol and rifle shooting range is. They do fantastic work out there. Reasonably priced. So if you're looking for an outdoor shooting range, the Hinges is fantastic.
Dude, $5 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And I was only there 45 minutes. But they have rules, and they stick to it. And if they're yelling at you, don't get scared because everybody's got hearing protection.
It's safety first. It is. And they drill that into you, and it's a good lesson for all of us. Just because sometimes you get comfortable.
One thing that was shocking is immediately after I sat down for the first 2 minutes, a guy walks up and goes, hey, one round per 3 seconds. Because I guess I was wiggling my finger a little too fast. And he's like, one round per 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, you didn't tell me that part.
No,
so
full,
now
no
I know.
Full auto down there, Bo Matthews. What are you doing?
No. I didn't do that.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, good. So you can see Bo next Thursday at our Spring Bourbon Fling at the Clayton Winehouse. Go to 971talk.com to register for that. Hope to see you out there. Just a $35 ticket. They're even giving away raffle tickets to everybody who buys a ticket. And they're going to be giving away bottles while we're there, so you might win one of those as well. Check that out.
That's
all right,
great.
Coming up on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, we're covering it all today. We're going to talk about the red flag laws a little later. Kamala Harris and the Biden administration trying to push more red flag laws across the country, and maybe focusing on what we're doing or not doing here in the state of Missouri, for that matter. And then we're going to talk to my friend Keith Hauser. He's having a fundraiser, a trap shooting, sporting clay fundraiser coming up next weekend. We'll have all the details. Sounds like a lot of fun. It's going to be a blast, Bo Matthews.
Yes, it will. And we'll talk to him next.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Happy that you're back with us here. And you know, one of my favorite pastimes, as Bo Matthews knows, who recently acquired a very nice shotgun for sporting clays and trap shooting, is to go out and practice that, because I need to, Bo, because my 25-year-old son still kicks my butt consistently when I go to the trap shooting range or the clay bird range.
He so you want to feel good about your game. That's what you're...
need practice. I can admit that, right? My kid always claims it skipped a generation because my dad was a really good trap shooter. So I'm on a mission here to get that done. And I tell you, our next guest is going to help me do that. It's going to help me practice a little bit anyway. And that's my friend Keith Hauser. He is president of the Patriot Training Foundation. They've got a fundraiser coming up, the second annual Michael Collins Memorial Freedom Blast Sporting Clay Tournament that's going to be held this coming weekend, next week. Friday, April 19th at Strathalbyn Farms out in St. Charles. And in addition to that, Keith does a whole bunch of other things, including the Honor Flight, which he went on this past week. And, of course, he helps train our members of the military and police officers. And we're going to get into all of that today. But, Keith Hauser, welcome into the show, my friend.
Good morning. How are you? Glad to have you.
We're doing fine, man. I'm glad we could get you on the radio for the weekend and talk a little bit more about this. First of all, Keith, tell people about the Patriot Training Foundation, please.
You know, this is our 20th year that we've done this, and we began by helping young men and women from St. Louis who wanted to enter the military as an officer through the academies, ROTC and OCS. We expanded eventually to include enlisted ranks of lifesavers or special operations. And then about 10 years ago, we expanded, and it's become probably our primary mission now, is about 80% of that. We opened up to law enforcement, and after Ferguson, like everybody else, got irritated with the idea that defunding the police was in some way a good strategy. So it made me annoyed, and we built a 563-acre facility about an hour west of St. Louis. And now we make that available to any law enforcement department who'd like to come out and get some excellent training, or if they'd like to bring their own instructors, that's fine too. But we've got so many opportunities out there for them to train realistically and practice the important decision-making capabilities.
Yeah. But, Bo, I have
it's
to
so
tell
important.
You, yeah, I've known Keith for 20 years now. He used to, when he was doing his Shark Fitness stuff originally, he came on the show with me at Channel 4 years ago. We did fitness segments, and I've watched him even back then. He was taking his own personal time to help kids who were going to one of the academies get prepared for what they were about to face physically. And maybe that was the genesis for all this. Was it, Keith?
It really was. You know, and this all started with me not being able to go to the military myself. I had some health conditions with my heart out of high school, and I was very disappointed. And eventually, when I got to a certain point, I met the right person at the right time, and they really inspired me. Had an opportunity to go up to West Point every couple weekends and train a Sandhurst team up there on my own dime. And I thought, if I can help one team, I can help the community. And then that obviously migrated into law enforcement. But it's just been a crazy ride for 20 years. It's been remarkable.
Well, Keith, don't worry about not doing military. I'm an Air Force brat. My dad was 47 years with the Air Force. And when I was coming out of high school, he said, so what are you going to do with your life? I said, well, I was going to maybe follow in your footsteps and, you know, go in the military. And he goes, you're not military material. I said, what? I said, well, how about law enforcement? He goes, nah, it's kind of the same thing. And so my vow to him was to support the military and the law enforcement as much as I can in my career, which I've tried to do. So don't feel bad. You're doing the right thing. You're still doing the training. You're still helping a lot of people.
You know, I feel really good about where we are. And we expect to see probably twice, 2.5 times as much in terms of law enforcement usage this year. Just over last year, the word's going out. We continue to expand what we do out there. And these departments, I mean, these men and women that serve our community, especially St. Louis, as we all know, has some very kind of jaded political leadership.
Yes.
And I'm always in awe of them as they come out to the program and they talk about how they're still loyal to the community. And the interesting thing is, one day we're sitting around and we're getting a load of magazines for the next shooting drill. And these guys are all talking about how much longer they have to retire. And a sergeant walked by and they said, hey, Sarge, how much longer do you have? And the guy looks him right in the face, and he ended the conversation immediately by saying, I could have retired 3 years ago, but I'm not going to leave when my city needs me the most. And I think that sums up so many of the great attitudes that we see in our community, and it's often overlooked from people that want to find things that are wrong and want to create things when they aren't there. And these men and women, they still care about the job very much. And seeing them in the unique perspective that I do when they're out there training, they are dedicated professionals, and I mean true dedicated professionals. And some of these could leave some of these departments that have some extra challenges, especially like Metropolitan St. Louis. They're a great department, and unfortunately we have Corey Bush and Tashara Jones that don't give them the credit they deserve, and yet they're out there every day. They could leave to go to any of these other municipalities in St. Louis or county or anywhere else and make a lot more money, probably have some better political leadership, but they stay there because they're loyal to the people they serve, even the ones that don't seem to respect them very much. I just think that's remarkable.
It's a great point. Keith Hauser, my guest with the Patriot Training Foundation. Keith, I don't want to gloss this over. I want people to understand what you do out there with the Patriot Training Foundation. When these members of law enforcement, members of the military come out there, it's at no cost to them, right?
That's correct. We never ask them for a fee ever.
Wow.
Now, if they have training money that's extra, we're glad to accept it because fundraising is very difficult for what we do.
Right.
But there will never, ever be a requirement for them to take advantage of our training program or use our facility.
That's
in some cases, in fact, these municipalities can even, they can't even afford the ammunition, so we even provide that for them.
Wow. Well, one way you do that, you just mentioned it, is by fundraising, and I want to bring up your Freedom Blast Sporting Clay Tournament that's going to be held on the 19th out at Strathalbyn. Give people some details on that.
This is, if you haven't been out to Strathalbyn and you like shooting clays, in my opinion, this is the best place to be in the area. They've got these great stations. We come out there at 1 to 2 o'clock. The doors open. Get registered. We got some food waiting for you. Attend our safety meeting, and then we start the shooting at these 14 different stations. And it is a blast, no pun intended, but it's a great place to shoot. It really is. And then we've got a dinner, bourbon tasting. I know you're fond of the bourbon, so there you go.
I am,
indeed. And a great meal afterwards. And you don't have to shoot. If you just want to come out for dinner, come out and have dinner with us.
Yeah,
I love it. I'm looking forward to it. Together for these things. I truly have a ton of respect. You don't have a lot of room, though. You're limited to 56 shooters. So if you want to sign up, you need to do that right away. But, okay, let's talk about the actual shooting. Now, Mark's got a new firearm. I've got a fairly new firearm for myself. And I'm seeing that you can do 12 or 20 gauge out there. Does anybody do skeet with a 20 gauge?
You know,
and why would you?
That. We've got a board member who's a 20-some year police veteran and an Army veteran, and we all ripped him pretty hard for buying a 20 gauge. So yeah, there's a few of them out there, but 12 gauge is obviously the more common caliber.
Well, you know, I've seen people out with 28 gauges going bird hunting, and I mean, you got to be a good shot if you don't have to worry about scattering a 12 gauge. A shot at a bird as it's flying away, right? Because it's a less powerful gun, a few less pellets flying out the other end of it at a lower speed.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know. It's a test of skill, and that's the thing that's great about it. If people haven't been sporting clay shooting, every station, the clay pigeon is flying at you from a different angle. Like in some cases it's a rabbit bouncing across the ground, some cases it may be like a duck taking off across a pond. I mean, it's different everywhere, right, Keith?
It is so much fun. I mean, they've got one practice station there that has 12 different throwers, so you can have a barrage of these things coming toward you. Now, I personally like to challenge myself by doing it the bolt action 22 or a slingshot.
A slingshot. There you go.
Okay,
King David.
If anybody could hit it with that, that would be Keith Hauser, would be my guess. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's funny.
No, the trap is my forte in particular. I'm a pretty high level marksman in terms of handgun, assault gun, and sniper, but the shotgun, I just have a blast with. It's so much fun. It's just a great time, and it's a friendly competition, so you know, you don't have to get to worry about being catcalled if you miss a few shots. No big deal.
Everybody misses a few shots.
I prefer the Daisy BB gun, personally, for skeet shooting.
Solid choice. That's a great choice.
That's great.
Keith, tell people how they can find out more. I mean, we want, obviously, even if you were to run out of tickets, I mean, people can always donate to sponsorships and everything for your event, right?
You bet. You bet. You can go to buildwarriors.org, O-R-G, at any time and see what events we have coming up and make a general donation. If you have questions, I'm happy to sit down and talk to you about it. You know, I want people to feel comfortable about it. And I think one of the things we can really take a lot of pride in is that the people that teach us stuff is voluntary. Only last year out of 20 years did I finally agree to take a very small salary to make up for all the time that I missed in my commercial job. But the people who go out there and teach, the people who help me maintain that property, we volunteer our time just because it's really a pursuit of passion, you know. And when you hear the stories and you're fortunate enough to get to know these men and women that still put the uniform on, it makes it very easy to wake up early and stay late and get the job done. They're just incredible. I can't say enough about them.
Yeah, well said. Well said. You know, I also want to, I can't let you off the phone here without mentioning I got to go on an honor flight last year. Keith is the reason I got to go. He invited me, kind of made that happen, and it was really the trip of a lifetime for me to get to see these veterans and what they experienced. Keith, you've been involved mm-hmm. in that for a long time as well.
Yeah, about 9 years, and our last flight was day before yesterday. And you know, now that the makeup of the flights are predominantly Vietnam veterans, although we had one gentleman who has served just after World War II and about a half dozen Korean War veterans. And I tell you what really makes it amazing is you can stand up there and do these addresses, which I do all day, as you saw, and you tell them thank you, and you tell them, I'm sorry we can't turn back time, and welcome you off the plane from Vietnam with a handshake, a beer, a ride, whatever you need. Because it really was a national disgrace how we welcomed these men and women home. And they get very emotional, and I mean, I just still get choked up thinking about it. I've done a lot of these flights. That when you have a guy come up to you and he's got tears in his eyes and he shakes your hand, you said, you know, I waited 50 years for someone to tell me thank you or someone to recognize the fact that I sacrificed for my country. And that's heartbreaking.
Yes.
It's great to be able to turn that tie a little bit. And there's a guy, you know, last night we went to the Blues game and we honored a veteran there, which we do several times a year. And he went through some horrific things in Vietnam. And he said that going on the honor flight for the first time in all these years allowed him to finally open up and talk about what he went through. And he tells one story in particular, and he earned the Silver Star, the Bronze Star, and a Purple Heart. He activated a booby trap while going through the jungle, and it came up and gave him some pretty devastating injuries in the abdomen, but it killed his two best friends next to him.
Wow.
And he held his friend in his arms while he bled to death. And, you know, he can say so with an almost clear eye, and he shares these stories, and he talks about all the things he went through. And just to think that he came home at 18 or 19 years old and had a country throw rocks at him and call him horrible things, that's sickening to think about. And I'm so happy I can be just a small part of maybe turning that chapter a little bit.
Well, it's a tremendous program for sure. Keith Hauser, thank you for your time. And again, buildwarriors.org. And you can find out more about the Patriot Training Foundation. And you can sign up for that event at Strathalbyn on April 19th. I'll be out there. I'm really looking forward to it.
Can't wait to see you. Thank you very much, guys.
Yes. Yeah, before you go, real quick, you know, because time is ticking on these guys that have fought World War II, Vietnam, where can people find out about how to get their soldier on an honor flight?
Oh, just look up Greater St. Louis Honor Flight, and you'll pull it right up there. There's an application to be a volunteer. There's an application for a veteran to fly. And right now, we're currently at about a 2 to 3 year wait list. If somebody does have physical or mental issues that are deteriorating, we try to bump them up to the front. Yeah. Obviously, our World War II, if we have any left, or Korean War, they take precedence. But we are trying desperately to get these guys out there, and women, too. We had a great husband-wife team this flight, and it is just a true honor. It's a great organization to get involved in. Again, we're all volunteers there, too.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're getting paid to do this. We just believe very strongly in honoring the men and women that put our country where it is today.
Keith Hauser, thanks for all you do. Well, I'll see you on Friday.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Take care. Keith Hauser there, president of the Patriot Training Foundation. Isn't that great, Bo?
That is fantastic. You know, fellow non-military person doing their best to support. That's all you can do. But that's what Americans should be doing.
You feel like you don't do enough when you listen to somebody like Keith Hauser, for sure. That's great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, coming up, have you heard of red flag laws? Are they coming soon to a community near you? Kamala Harris would like that to happen. We're going to talk to the folks from Gun Owners of America who are fighting back. We'll be right back.
Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman, our executive producer, putting this together for you. Oh, do that again. Sorry, I didn't hardly hear.
No, that's fine. Pew,
you must have had your suppressor on.
Carl does not have a suppressor.
Thank you.
Let me tell you that.
But speaking of suppressors, Razorback Armory is your number one place to go to. If you've been thinking about silencing your firearm, head in there. And if you're shopping for a Glock, make sure you ask about the Bo Matthews special. It's running this month and next month. And what that's going to get you, you buy a Glock, they're going to get you some, I don't know, maybe a case, a duffel bag, a ball cap, something like that. They're giving away stuff at Razorback Armory. Find their address and everything at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them about the Bo Matthews special, Glock buyers. In this segment of the show, we have from Gun Owners of America, we got Luis Valdez. How are you, sir? Welcome back to the show.
Doing good, my brothers from another mother. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. The fight continues, and we love what you do at Gun Owners of America. Let's talk about the Red Flag Resource Center that has been being talked about, but not enough, and that's why you're on.
Well, I can tell you this. Red flags are an absolute disaster. We sadly have them here on the state level in Florida. And at no point have they resulted in stopping crime. All they do is they violate people's constitutional rights. As a former police officer, we were trained on the very simple premise of innocent until proven guilty. Red flags completely reverse that. It violates due process. It violates your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights that go after your Second Amendment rights. And it makes you, the law-abiding citizen, prove that you're innocent to the state, which is, it's horrible.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, this is when they first started pitching this, and maybe it was after Parkland. I'm trying to remember when the big push first came, Lewis. Maybe you can remind me of that. It sounds like a great idea. You know, if we just had the authority to go in and take people's guns in advance, we could end a lot of this. Well, we know that's not true because you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know when people are going to do what they're going to do. If police have actionable intelligence that somebody's about to commit a crime, they already have the authority to go in and arrest that individual and remove them from their firearms, correct?
You hit the nail straight on the head. You know, even Trump was saying, take the guns first, due process second, which is a horrible thing that a Republican would say such a thing. But that's what happened in Florida. You had Republicans as a knee-jerk reaction pass gun control, including red flags after Parkland, for the failures of law enforcement. The Broward County Sheriff's Office, for instance, had over 30 points of contact with the Parkland shooter. They could have arrested him for domestic violence. They could have arrested him for aggravated battery. They could have arrested him for aggravated assault. They could have arrested him for numerous actions. They Baker-acted him. And instead, all they did was they swept it under the rug. And I sat through the investigation presentation for Parkland that was put on by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office because they were given the task by the investigation. All of the witnesses, all of the survivors from Parkland literally said, oh, the moment it happened, we knew it was going to be this kid because he was a known problem already, yeah. But it was swept under the rug. And that's the thing. Red flag laws will not stop this because here's the honest truth. If you have a known problem, why are they out on the streets taking guns from them ain't going to solve it because they could be violent with a knife. They could use a baseball bat. They could use a car. Heck, they could do what was done up in Michigan back in the day where some guy padlocked a school and with a gallon of gas set it on fire and burned it to the ground.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good point. And back to Parkland for just a minute. It's always good to remember that the other thing that contributed to that was an Obama-era effort he pushed through the Department of Justice.
The pipeline to prison program where they did not want kids being reported criminally because the Obama's criminal Department of Justice didn't want them having criminal records.
Yes, yes. They felt that exposing them to the juvenile justice system at an early age increased the chance that they were going to end up in prison at some point. And this particular kid in Parkland threatened kids with knives. He threatened to kill and torture animals. And instead of kicking him out of school, they just moved him around to other schools. I mean, it was a travesty of justice what happened there. And then it moved on to the law enforcement phase where they knew he had guns. They knew he had a gun in the house. They removed it once, I believe. And yet nobody ever did anything. And now they think a red flag law would have prevented that. And it wouldn't have. And thank you for pointing that out, Lewis.
Never would have prevented it. And the worst thing is You have Republican leadership on state levels and on federal level backing it. That's the real danger. Red flags has bipartisan support from both sides of the political aisle because they think of, oh, well, you know, to hell with due process, to hell with the Second Amendment, to hell with your Fourth and Fifth Amendments and constitutional rights and the ability to be innocent until proven guilty in a court of law by a preponderance of evidence. You know, they don't care about that. And that tells you where our elected officials truly stand on the Constitution. The Second Amendment is the canary in the coal mine. If they treat your gun rights like this, how are they going to treat all your other rights?
Yeah, no kidding. Luis Valdez of Gun Owners of America is our guest. And, we don't gaslight on this program. But you know what? I'm just thinking as we're talking about red flags, usually the term red flags was done in relationships. You know, hey, any red flags on that gal you're dating? Any red flags? Let's boil it down to the basics for those that are listening to the show that may not really understand what a red flag law is. And although it's been all over the news for a long time, Lewis, explain what a red flag law is for those if they use this thing.
A red flag law across the majority of the country that has enacted it on state level, saying that your guns could be taken away from you if someone close to you makes a report that you're of a possible danger. Now, the issue, the biggest constitutional issue with this is that this is simply an accusation and your rights are violated without due process. You cannot face your accuser in court. No evidence. You can't face your accuser in court. And you then have to prove to the courts that you are not a threat to get your rights restored.
Right.
And I'll give you a great example for New York. One of the criteria in New York to justify a red flag is if an individual has purchased a firearm. I'm sorry, as a collector, I purchase firearms all the time.
Right.
I'm constantly on the hunt for the next thing. That's a red flag in the state of New York.
Right. Wow. Yeah, and that's what keeps people from moving there. It is frightening because it could just be, you know, somebody accusing you, somebody, you know, that a neighbor that doesn't like you. You didn't cut your grass the way they like it in an HOA kind of situation. So, ooh, we have this red flag law that I can throw out. And it's just so weird in 2024 how this judicial system, this Department of Justice is handling all kinds of things, especially this.
Well, the biggest issue with this is after it was passed in Florida, I forget if it was the Orlando Sentinel or the Tampa Bay Times or Miami Herald, but one of the major papers interviewed a number of judges, and they basically asked them on their opinions, hey, you know, will you ever deny a red flag request? And every judge basically said, no, of course not. I don't want to be the one judge that has one actual problem slip through my case file and becomes a shooter. So I will approve every red flag request, no matter how frivolous it is, because I'm going to have that burden.
Yeah.
And that's the danger here. You now have violations of civil rights being given carte blanche authority by the judges because they don't want to actually be held up to the scrutiny of...
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman, our executive producer, putting this together for you. Oh, do that again. Sorry, I didn't hardly hear.
No, that's fine.
You must have had your suppressor on.
Carl does not have a suppressor.
Thank you.
Let me tell you that.
But speaking of suppressors, Razorback Armory is your number one place to go to if you've been thinking about silencing your firearm. Head in there, and if you're shopping for a Glock, make sure you ask about the Bo Matthews special. It's running this month and next month. And what that's going to get you, you buy a Glock, they're going to get you some, I don't know, maybe a case, a duffel bag, a ball cap, something like that. They're giving away stuff at Razorback Armory. Find their address and everything at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them about the Bo Matthews special, Glock buyers. In this segment of the show, we have from Gun Owners of America, we got Luis Valdez. How are you, sir? Welcome back to the show.
Doing good, my brothers from another mother. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. The fight continues, and we love what you do at Gun Owners of America. Let's talk about the Red Flag Resource Center. that has been being talked about, but not enough, and that's why you're on.
Well, I can tell you this. Red flags are an absolute disaster. We sadly have them here on the state level in Florida, and at no point have they resulted in stopping crime. All they do is they violate people's constitutional rights. As a former police officer, we were trained on the very simple premise of innocent until proven guilty. Red flags completely reverse that. It violates due process. It violates your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights that go after your Second Amendment rights. And it makes you, the law-abiding citizen, prove that you're innocent to the state, which is, it's horrible.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, this is when they first started pitching this, and maybe it was after Parkland. I'm trying to remember when the big push first came, Lewis. Maybe you can remind me of that. It sounds like a great idea. You know, if we just had the authority to go in and take people's guns in advance, we could end a lot of this. Well, we know that's not true because you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know when people are going to do what they're going to do. If police have actionable intelligence that somebody's about to commit a crime, they already have the authority to go in and arrest that individual and remove them from their firearms, correct?
You hit the nail straight on the head. You know, even Trump was saying, take the guns first, due process second, which is a horrible thing that a Republican would say such a thing. But that's what happened in Florida. You had Republicans, as a knee-jerk reaction, pass gun control, including red flags after Parkland, for the failures of law enforcement. The Broward County Sheriff's Office, for instance, had over 30 points of contact with the Parkland shooter. They could have arrested him for domestic violence. They could have arrested him for aggravated battery. They could have arrested him for aggravated assault. They could have arrested him for numerous actions. They could have Baker acted him. And instead, all they did was they swept it under the rug. And I sat through the investigation presentation for Parkland that was put on by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, because they were given the task by the investigation. All of the witnesses, all of the survivors from Parkland literally said, oh, the moment it happened, we knew it was going to be this kid because he was a known problem already, yeah. But it was swept under the rug. And that's the thing. Red flag laws will not stop this, because here's the honest truth. If you have a known problem, why are they out on the streets taking guns from them? Ain't going to solve it, because they could be violent with a knife. They could use a baseball bat. They could use a car. Heck, they could do what was done up in Michigan back in the day, where some guy padlocked a school and with a gallon of gas set it on fire and burned it to the ground.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good point. And back to Parkland for just a minute. It's always good to remember that the other thing that contributed to that was an Obama-era effort he pushed through the Department of Justice.
The pipeline to prison program, where they did not want kids being reported criminally because the Obama's criminal Department of Justice didn't want them having criminal records.
Yes, yes. They felt that exposing them to the juvenile justice system at an early age increased the chance that they were going to end up in prison at some point. And this particular kid in Parkland threatened kids with knives. He threatened to kill and torture animals. And instead of kicking him out of school, they just moved him around to other schools. I mean, it was a travesty of justice what happened there. And then it moved on to the law enforcement phase, where they knew he had guns. They knew he had a gun in the house. They removed it once, I believe. And yet nobody ever did anything. And now they think a red flag law would have prevented that. And it wouldn't have. And thank you for pointing that out, Lewis.
Never would have prevented it. And the worst thing is, you have Republican leadership on state levels and on federal level backing it. That's the real danger. Red flags has bipartisan support from both sides of the political aisle, because they think of, oh, well, you know, to hell with due process, to hell with the Second Amendment, to hell with your Fourth and Fifth Amendments and constitutional rights and the ability to be innocent until proven guilty in a court of law by a preponderance of evidence. You know, they don't care about that. And that tells you where our elected officials truly stand on the Constitution. The Second Amendment is the canary in the coal mine. If they treat your gun rights like this, how are they going to treat all your other rights?
Yeah, no kidding. Luis Valdez of Gun Owners of America is our guest. And, we don't gaslight on this program. But you know what? I'm just thinking as we're talking about red flags, usually the term red flags was done in relationships. You know, hey, any red flags on that gal you're dating? Any red flags? Let's boil it down to the basics for those that are listening to the show that may not really understand what a red flag law is. And although it's been all over the news for a long time, Lewis, explain what a red flag law is for those if they use this thing.
A red flag law across the majority of the country that has enacted it on state level, saying that your guns could be taken away from you if someone close to you makes a report that you're of a possible danger. Now, the issue, the biggest constitutional issue with this is that this is simply an accusation and your rights are violated without due process. You cannot face your accuser in court. No evidence. You can't face your accuser in court. And you then have to prove to the courts that you are not a threat to get your rights restored.
Right.
And I'll give you a great example for New York. One of the criteria in New York to justify a red flag is if an individual has purchased a firearm. I'm sorry, as a collector, I purchase firearms all the time.
Right.
I am constantly on the hunt for the next thing. That's a red flag in the state of New York.
Right. Wow. Yeah, and that's what keeps people from moving there. It is frightening because it could just be, somebody accusing you. Somebody, a neighbor that doesn't like you. You didn't cut your grass the way they like it in an HOA kind of situation. So, we have this red flag law that I can throw out. And it's just so weird in 2024 how this judicial system, this Department of Justice is handling all kinds of things, especially this.
Well, the biggest issue with this is after it was passed in Florida, I forget if it was the Orlando Sentinel or the Tampa Bay Times or Miami Herald, but one of the major papers interviewed a number of judges, and they basically asked them on their opinions, hey, will you ever deny a red flag request? And every judge basically said, no, of course not. I don't want to be the one judge that has one actual problem slip through my case file and becomes a shooter. So I will approve every red flag request, no matter how frivolous it is, because I don't have that burden.
Yeah.
And that's the danger here. You now have violations of civil rights being given carte blanche authority by the judges because they don't want to actually be held up to the scrutiny of their title, of their position, of their job.
That's a great point. Yeah. That risk to your due process is going to happen anywhere they have a red flag law. I don't know how they protect against it. You're not allowed to face your accuser. You're drug into a court, if you're lucky, where they have to have a hearing. You risk losing your due process. So, Lewis, thank you for pointing it out. And we bring it up because Kamala Harris has announced a new office in the Biden administration to try to implement red flag gun control laws across the country in the states that don't currently have them already. And it's just something we want you to be aware of. The folks at Gun Owners do such great work in keeping us alert to these problems. You know, this week, Lewis, I had on somebody from the Missouri Firearms Coalition here, and we were discussing a couple of issues that are important here in Missouri. Like, number one, since the concealed carry law was passed here, there are still a number of requirements on the books as to where you can and can't carry. Even if you legally conceal, there are some places that are off limits, like the Metrolink train, where people get mugged and stuff all the time, and you're not allowed to defend yourself on there. And there have been efforts introduced to try to remove those restrictions so that you can defend yourself if you're a legal concealed carry holder. This year in the Missouri legislature, supermajority of Republicans, there's been zero action. These changes have been sent to committees to die.
Oh, again, as a Floridian, I know exactly the pain you guys are going through because we have that exact same problem. We've had a Republican supermajority for 20-plus years and Republicans who kill pro-gun legislation. Just this session alone here in Florida, for example, GOA got an open carry bill introduced because Florida is the only Republican state in the country that bans open carry still. We got it introduced. Our Republican legislative leadership in the first week of session said, oh, I and my fellow Republicans don't have an appetite to debate and vote on this bill. It's dead in the water. We had a bill pass the House to repeal the Parkland under 21 purchase ban for long guns. We also had another bill pass the House to repeal the violation that the Florida Department of Law Enforcement does for background checks. And I don't know how it is in Missouri, but in Florida, we have mandatory waiting periods. And the law used to be after 3 days, if the background check isn't done, the firearm could be released. Well, after Parkland, FDLE, they could literally take forever and keep delaying the process. Someone is, they're not denied, they're not approved, they're just in limbo and they can't get their gun. And we got a bill passed that too. The Senate president, another Republican, said, nope, they're dead in the water, we're not passing it. When we had our permitless carry bill passed last year, the Senate Democrat minority leader said in committee, oh, you guys aren't going to get any pro-gun legislation to advance for the next decade. And he's right. And the reason why is because Republicans, when they gain office, they don't gain office to actually push forward agendas. They gain office to hold office and make money.
Wow.
And that's something very interesting. Democrats, when they gain office, they always push their agenda forward, but Republicans don't.
That's right.
Yeah. And you guys have the same problem in Missouri that we have in Florida and that Texans has had previously too. But the way Texas got over it was two ways. One, GOA's leadership, of course, and organizing grassroots activism. But two, it was direct grassroots activism by gun owners showing up to their Capitol and constantly making it an issue. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, and if gun owners are quiet, Republican lawmakers take that silence as approval of their actions. And what Missouri, what resident gun owners in Missouri need to do is be loud and proud as gun owners, because this is a civil right. We have to march. We have to vote. We have to be loud. We cannot just sit in the corner and be like, oh, well, there's always next year. No, enough is enough. Push the issue.
I agree.
Or that somebody else is going to do the work. And that's the frightening thing. And that's politics across the board, though, isn't it? It's not trying to change too much as a Republican politician. It's more about just, you know, holding the line. Some people say the Constitution doesn't need to be changed. It just needs to be followed and read. The laws don't need to be changed. They just need to be upheld. It's a baffling thing in the political world across the board, not just in guns, but in a lot of things. But we appreciate your opinion and we appreciate your encouragement to do what we can. And Gun Owners of America are at the forefront of this fight. And we encourage people to find you, support you guys. Send money, you know, take the instruction you guys are offering. Would you agree?
Very much so. And look, the base root of the issue with the Republican establishment is this. They're conservatives. Conserve means to keep the status quo.
Right.
If the status quo is upholding an open carry ban in Florida or upholding gun-free zones in Missouri or whatever else across the country, then they're going to keep the status quo. We need to stop that, and we need to reclaim what liberal was. The founding fathers were liberal. They were classic libertarians. They were pushing the boundaries of what the conservative mindset was in the 1700s, because the 1700 conservatives, Tory, I'm going to support the crown.
Right.
No, to heck with that. We are free people. And support GOA if they want to donate to GOA, if they want to join GOA. It's real easy. Go to gunowners.org. It's just $25 a year for an annual membership, and every penny goes towards the fight on the local, county, state, and federal level.
Lewis, you're a great American. Keep up the fight.
Thank you for what you guys do, and thank you for being a beacon of liberty in these dark and troubling times on the airwaves, and thanks for having me on board.
We will talk soon, my friend. Yeah, Lewis Valdez, Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org.
But the one note that Carl provided for us, the Federal Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, ERPO, follows Joe Biden's establishment of the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention in September, which which the president tapped Kamala Harris to lead. So if she's going to do as well on this as she did on the southern border,
we're good.
We're golden.
Nothing's going to happen. That's the best news I've had today. I'll drink to that, Bo Matthews.
Do that.
Absolutely. I am, in fact. Thank you. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you next weekend.
Have a great rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.